This is an iHeart podcast.
I want to talk about communist mentality here, how they think versus how we think. We try to have these conversations as often as humanly possible right here on I'm Right, because it helps me, it helps you understand not what we're seeing, why we're seeing what we're seeing. Why are the communists doing this? Why are they doing that? And so often the right still does not understand it. And really the main principle behind why we oftentimes don't understand what we're up against is we think we're up against Democrats, liberals, people on the left, when in reality we are up against a conquering religion of destruction. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you see them that way. Well, actually, it does matter, but that's how they see themselves. They see themselves as conquerors. They are marching forward. They are trying to vanquish evil. And what is evil? Everything good. Everything that is awesome. The United States of America, family, church, right, wrong. They're trying to vanquish all that, eliminate it all. And so they are conquering. That's what they are doing. And you can tell the right still does not understand why the communist does the things he does. And, you know, I'm going to actually use the NFL, of all things, as a great example of this. The Minnesota Vikings rolled out some gay cheerleader. Now, there have always been male cheerleaders, the high school, college, whatever, always been male cheerleaders. They're always these big, huge, stocky dudes who toss women around. You know, that most of the time, they're the most alpha guys out there. Not this one. This one is as flamboyant and feminine-like as humanly possible. And I watched NFL fans all weekend since this announcement say things like, why? Why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? The Panthers have a tranny cheerleader. Speaking of the NFL, they put out a message that they're forcing teams to have things like end racism and choose love in the end zone. And people on the right are confused. Because they're saying, why? Why can't I just watch the game? Why can't they just leave me alone? Why can't we just enjoy sports? Why do they have to do this? I love this stuff. Why can't they just leave it alone? But you see, you just answered your question. You answered your own question. They can't leave it alone because you love it. Don't think for a single second that the communist has conquered things you care about by accident. That he's just kind of out there conquering again everything, and he just happened to stumble, whoopsie, into that thing that you enjoy with family and friends on a Sunday afternoon in November. Don't think it was an accident at all. If you do, you do not understand the way the communist thinks. Allow me to explain this as it pertains to entertainment, because we'll move on to a couple other things that are important, but as it pertains to entertainment. Entertainment is a critically important part of culture, every single culture, not just American culture. It's easy, especially for people like me, to be dismissive of it. Oh, no one cares what this actor says. No one cares about sports. No one, that stuff's not important. Can't we just talk about taxes? Very easy to say things like that. But entertainment has always been an important part of every single culture. Entertainment does things to a culture, beneficial things, extremely beneficial things. Greek mythology. You know about Greek mythology, right? Zeus and Apollo, and you know about Greek mythology, where the gods and Mount Olympus, and you know all those stories. The stories of Icarus flying too close to the sun, and you know all the crazy stories. Fascinating stories, aren't they? Wonderful. Great read, even today. But what was the point of them? Because they're very old. And they performed those stories. They read them to each other. They performed them in plays in Greek auditoriums. Why? Because there are important lessons to be had from those stories, teaching society lessons about everything. Greed, jealousy, lust, bravery. Good lessons, bad lessons, entertainment matters. Hollywood, American Hollywood, used to be, you know, John Wayne films. Tough guy, you be brave, you be tough. Die on behalf of women and children if you have to. Fight against evil. That was important. It mattered. I've told you before, John Wayne movies helped shape my moral upbringing. I know it's wild, but it's true. The NFL. What about sports? Critical part of entertainment. Sports not only trains young men to be more physical, learn teamwork, actually, and young women, be more physical, learn teamwork, learn hard work. Sports is wonderful for a society. My 16-year-old gets up every single day now, 5 a.m., feeds himself breakfast, drives himself to practice. That's learning hard work, values that'll carry him the rest of his life. It's not just that sports brings that. Sports is a unifying part of society. Unifying part of society. Don't think that this is just America. Did you know that in ancient Rome, the chariot races were the biggest thing around? And that there were teams, just like today, when the Yankees play the Red Sox or the Patriots play the Chargers. There were teams. There would be red team or blue team, and you would wear your team's jersey, and you'd argue about it, and you'd show up at the chariot races. Why? It brings people together. No more distractions, no more politics, no more. Let's go together and see something amazing, see entertainment, root for my side, root against your side. Sports matter a lot. The NFL in particular. Maybe you're an NFL fan, maybe you don't care about it. I haven't watched it in years. I used to be the biggest NFL fan in the world. They turned me off with all the Black Lives Matter stuff. But whether or not you're a fan doesn't matter. The NFL was enormous. There was a time back when I was watching NFL, and I don't know that it's still this way, it probably is, where 9 of the 10 most watched TV shows every year were NFL games. NFL is enormous. People love it. People watch it. Well, the communist, he can see TV ratings too. He's not going to let that go. If this is an important sport that matters to people, where Americans sit down and watch it, you have to think like a demonic conqueror. That's what the communist is. If it entertains people, if it brings people together, if it teaches values, he's going to conquer it. And they did. They started working their way through the NFL offices. Of course, hiring the latest communist from Stanford, latest communist from Columbia, and they worm their way like the virus they are through the good, wonderful things we love, the NFL offices. And now, on Sunday, you have to explain to your son and your daughter why there's some complete flaming homosexual acting like a woman with the other woman cheerleaders on the Minnesota Vikings field. Don't dismiss it as nothing. It is something. And they did it on purpose. I've brought this up before. That's why they did the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts. It's kind of a weird thing, right? Did you see this story? Girl Scout troop leader was removed because she refused to promote gender sexuality alliance clubs in New Jersey. Here's one mom.
We saw kind of a change in our own town where they would have town events at a church that actually displayed pride flags, progressive pride flags. They had a trans identifying 13-year-old come and do a event there promising music, ice cream, pizza. And I couldn't even bring my troop to these town events because it was completely inappropriate for children to see. They shouldn't be around anything sexual. I called them out on it this past June. They said, you know, all the troops are going to be doing this LGB, you know, however many letters are in that, and encouraging that all of the town troops would be doing it, saying, yes, Park Ridge, you know, encourages this. And I shared it because a lot of parents were quite upset. They said, you know, one parent said, my husband wants me to pull my daughter out of Girl Scouts.
Why would they do? Why Girl Scouts? Can't they just leave that alone? Girl Scouts are important. Used to be. Teaching young women values. Incredibly important values. Did you think the communist was going to let that go? Communist doesn't think that way. We have to start understanding better how he thinks and why he does the things he does before we will ever be able to take them on. Remember that. All right? I love sleeping. Sleeping is one of my favorite things. And I know, look, I've always been this way. When I was a kid, what kid is like this? You know how kids will fight to stay up? I used to just go to bed. I'd tell my parents, I'm going to bed. That's how much I love sleeping. And that's why I love Dream Powder from Beam so much. Because as you get older, the aches and pains in your body, the stresses of life, it doesn't come as easy as it did when you were 10 years old and you just passed out for 10 hours at a time. But Dream Powder will bring those days back for you naturally. Have a cup of hot chocolate tonight before bed. Special hot chocolate with Dream Powder. It's got reishi and all kind of magnesium, all kinds of things in it, natural things that'll have you sleeping like an itty-bitty baby, and more importantly, waking up rested and refreshed like you used to when you were a little kid and you knocked out for 10 hours. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. Okay, let's have a discussion about crime, violent crime in blue cities, why it's so rampant, what's going on, and let's have a discussion that may get uncomfortable about police agencies, large police agencies in the United States of America. First, let's get a couple basics out of the way. First, basics you already know, you watch this show all the time, we don't have to rehash the entire thing, but just for the purposes here, Democrats are not Democrats, they're communists now. They are fighting a revolution. They are not political, they are religion. They are fighting a revolution against everything. And part of fighting a communist revolution is the use of violence. Not just them, you just want violence everywhere in society to increase. Destabilizes things, makes society more ripe for revolution. Thus, open up the prisons. Open up the prisons. Now, one of the main ways the communists do this in this country is through this cashless bail thing. Here was Trump talking about it.
This dire public safety crisis stems directly from the abject failures of the city's local leadership. The radical left city council adopted no cash bail. By the way, every place in the country where you have no cash bail is a disaster. That's what started the problem in New York, and they don't change it. They don't want to change it. That's what started it. In Chicago, I mean, bad politicians started it, bad leadership started it, but that was the one thing that's central, no cash bail. Somebody murders somebody and they're out on no cash bail before the day is out.
No cash bail. So let's talk about this. And this is something that it can make people squirm in their chairs, right? Because we're about to separate society, separate human beings. We don't like doing that, especially as Americans. Everyone's equal, right? But let's be honest. The reason traffic was bad on your way to work or school this morning is not because all the drivers on the road are stupid or selfish. 5%, 10%, stupid, selfish. It only takes a small percentage to ruin traffic. Why do you have to sign 8,000 disclaimers when you go to the doctor's office? Is it 100% of the patients who are morons, sue happy, all those things? No, 5%. 10%. Why does your kid not learn as much in school as you think they should? Is it because the whole class is a bunch of hooligans and dummies? No. It's 5%. 10%. Whenever you are at any place in your life, you will discover it's a small percentage of society, the bottom of the barrel, who ruin it for everybody. And it works the exact same way with crime. You don't believe me? I suggest you go get to know some cops. I am friends with many of them. A cop who is well-established in an area, well-established in any area, they will tell you when they hear of a crime. A cop established in an area will hear that somebody stuck up a convenience store. That cop will usually be able to give you a short list of the people and or groups responsible for that crime. Why? They know who the bad guys are. I mean, we act as if criminal justice is complicated, and don't get me wrong, some parts of it are complicated. What do we do after we catch them? How do we stop them from being that? I get that, but overall, criminal justice is not that complicated. If you want to stop crime, find the criminals. It's a small percent. Find the criminals, arrest them, and keep them in prison, period. Once they're locked in cages, people don't get hurt anymore. Society gets better and safer. If you let them out of those cages, they'll go on and they'll hurt more people. Why would Democrats fall in love with something like cashless bail? Because it allows animals to commit crimes, walk into jail, sign their name on a piece of paper, and turn around and walk right back out. The point of bail, after all, in part, is to keep you inside so you're not outside hurting people. Naturally, Democrats hate that because why? Because they're not Democrats, because they're communists. They want people hurt. Now, here's the problem if you're a communist. That's not going to be popular. And don't delude yourself into thinking these Democrats, they don't know what's going to happen when you turn the serial rapist loose from jail. They know what's going to happen. They want it to happen. But that doesn't look good, right? No matter what society you're in, it's very hard to run for office on the "Hey, I'm pro-crime." That's a tough platform to sell. So they lie like this.
Well, first, let's just look at the actual numbers. In Washington, D.C. and all across the country, crime was going up during Donald Trump's first term. And when Joe Biden became president, crime started to come down. In fact, it's been coming down precipitously in Washington and in cities all across the country. So it's just not true, the allegation that they are making.
Crime's been going down. Crime's been going down, huh? I mean, they've been taking this stance for a while now. Remember when Dome got crushed on stage when she was debating Donald Trump? And of course, because the GOP is suicidal, we allowed a communist named David Muir to moderate the debate, and he jumped in and said this.
Crime here is up and through the roof. Despite their fraudulent statements that they made, crime in this country is through the roof. And we have a new form of crime. It's called migrant crime. And it's happening at levels that nobody thought possible.
President Trump, as you know, the FBI says overall violent crime is actually coming down in this country. But
they were defrauding statements. They didn't include the worst cities. They didn't include the cities with the worst crime. It was a fraud, just like their number of 818,000 jobs that they said they created turned out to be a fraud.
Credit to Donald Trump for giving it right back to that dirty communist. But you saw what he tried to do there. Oh, well, the FBI said violent crime's going down. Anyway, let's move on. We'll talk to her right there. Well, see, the communists are in a bit of a pickle when you're turning the jails loose, when you're turning the animals loose onto society. People don't like it. So you have to lie about it. But when you lie about it, you see, this is where institutions are so critical for a society. Institutions keep liars in check. It's one of the main things institutions do. If you're a communist who's caused violent crime to go up, you have to worry about the FBI and these major police agencies, you know, NYPD, places like that. If you're lying about crime, you know these institutions will step up and say, nah, that's a lie. These guys are all committing crimes. Crime's going up. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. So what to do? What to do if the institution is there to stop your lies from moving forward? Conquer the institution. You don't stop lying. You certainly don't stop turning the criminals loose onto society. If the FBI is in your way, you conquer the FBI. Barack Obama did that. He spent 8 years filling up the FBI with committed communists, promoting them through the ranks. They have since promoted others through the ranks. Now the federal police force is completely communist and against you. They are the enemy. What to do? What to do if the NYPD is going to be honest about crime? Well, communists run the city. Communists choose the police commissioner. Communists will get to choose the leadership of the NYPD. Doesn't matter how wonderful and brave the guys on the ground are trying to stop the crime, simply take over the leadership and lie about the crime statistics. The communist will constantly run into walls because he's selling something demonic, destructive, and evil. He will then have to find a way over or through that wall, and the most efficient way to do that is conquer the institution that stands in your way. And rest assured, right now, communists are very afraid of what Donald Trump is doing in D.C. for a couple different reasons. One, what if he solves the crime? What if Donald Trump actually fixes crime in D.C.? All these crime stats are going down. how would that make all the other DC, all the other cities, how would it make them look? And let's be honest with you, let's be honest here. If Donald Trump starts putting violent criminals in jail, who's going to vote for Democrats? That's why they're on MSNBC talking like this.
Goliath can only take him so far.
Right.
He's hoping that with this presence of these troops, he likes, you know, the protests this weekend were peaceful, and the No Kings protests were peaceful. He's hoping for a George Floyd 2020-like situation in D.C. where he can then use that to manufacture another emergency so we can expand power, because what we're seeing is that he governs by emergency, not by popular mandate, right?
And he gets to define the emergency.
Exactly. Right. He just declares, you know, I hereby declare emergency, and that gets to do whatever he wants, right? But in reality, there is no crime emergency that can't be handled by local law enforcement.
What's that guy really worried about? Fascism? Donald Trump taking over everything by emergency? No. That guy understands that if you start taking violent criminals, you lock them in cages and you keep them locked in cages, the streets will be safe and the American people will slowly, maybe, begin to wake up and realize voting for Democrats is the only reason America's cities are filthy and full of crime. And if you stop doing that, crime disappears. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Mood. That's a weird thing to discuss, isn't it? Your mood. But here's the truth. As we get older now in this country, we are too depressed. We get down too often. Does that sound like you? Maybe you're just driving home to work, whatever, and you're just kind of down. You know that's because your levels are all screwed up, right? Because we have so many horrible things, mainly in our water supply. You shouldn't be drinking synthetic estrogens, but you are. So what to do about that? Well, you can go get more pills, or you can go natural. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk will change your life. It'll certainly change your mood. Maybe you start out every day with some chocolate powder, vitamins and minerals, a little smoothie in the morning. Maybe you take a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack. I take a male vitality stack every day. Whatever you do, do something about it. Chuck.com/JesseTV.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to my Substack. Last week's cold turns out to have been COVID. Quite a flashback. And Donald Trump is still president and still humiliating America on a national stage standing next to Vladimir Putin. It's like a dream, a bad dream you can't wake up from. But I don't want to talk about that bad dream this week. I want to talk about a truly inspirational public figure named Taylor Swift. I'm in a family's Swiftie group chat. I know all her music, and I listen to it in my headphones when I cut the grass. While our elderly makeup-covered president is posting about whether Taylor Swift is still hot and declaring that he can't stand her, what's she doing? Living her best life. Producing great music and, as she urged all of us to do during the podcast, not giving the jerks power over her mind. She said something about dealing with internet trolls that stuck with me. Think of your energy as if it's expensive, she said. As if it's like a luxury item. Not everyone can afford it.
Joining me now, Liz Wheeler, host of the Liz Wheeler Show. Liz, that gentleman was the former head of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Does it seem like the leaders of the West lack a certain level of seriousness today? Or is that just me being an old curmudgeon? Do we lack seriousness?
James Comey is a freak. He is a freak. I watched the entire 5-minute video of James Comey drooling, fanboying over Taylor Swift. 5 minutes of my life I will never get back. Do you understand? Do the math here. Do you understand how creepy this is? He talks about going to his first Taylor Swift concert 14 years ago or something like that. Do you know how old Taylor Swift was? She would have been like 19 or 20. And he was a 50-year-old man. That's really, really creepy. It's so weird to me. But here's the thing, Jesse. James Comey is different than a lot of other swamp creatures. Like, a lot of swamp creatures are really dumb. Peter Strzok is a good example. Like, he was obviously just used as a patsy. He's stupid. He's a sheep. He's a follower. They wanted him to commit the crime so that they had plausible deniability. James Comey is not like that. James Comey is actually a very strategic thinker. He's just a bad person. So he uses his intelligence for bad things. For example, think about when he posted on his Instagram that rock formation, 8647, and then pretended, oh, I thought that was someone's street address. No, you didn't. You're the former FBI director. You know that the insinuation is killing President Trump. You're not stupid. You just think we're stupid. But the reason he did that, he knew when he posted that it would create backlash. He knew he would get a visit from the Secret Service, but he had no intention of killing Trump, so they would leave. He knew he would not face charges, and he knew he would get questioned by even mainstream media about it, and it would lead to selling books because it was the week before his book was released. So he was like 4 or 5 steps ahead of the actual action that he was taking. That's how I interpret this video of him drooling over Taylor Swift. Yes, he's a freak. Yes, he's a creep. Yes, our leaders are unserious. But the question in my mind about this video is why? Why did James Comey post this video? Because I know that it's just step one in some other plot. What's coming next?
I'm glad you brought that up, Liz, because I've been wondering about this myself. John Brennan, who rumor has it is probably most in jeopardy of possibly going to jail with this whole Russia hoax investigation stuff, his stupid fat face is all over the television set every time I turn it on. Nobody facing a serious legal trial would run and do interviews all the time. No lawyer worth their salt would allow their client to do that. Yet he is. Why is he unafraid? Why is James Comey unafraid? I'm nervous to even ask you, but why aren't any of these people afraid?
Because Republicans are weak. Republicans are impotent. Republicans are afraid to actually play to win. They know the Democrats can commit crimes, and they know that they will get away with those crimes because they have gotten away with crimes for decades and decades because Republicans are so nice. Republicans want to be gentlemen and get drinks after arguing on the floor of Congress. They want to be bipartisan. They don't want to target their political enemies because that's not what our country was meant to do. And the result of this is we get steamrolled over and over and over. Think about how long James Comey and John Brennan have been swamp creatures, how many years they have committed crimes against the American people and gotten away with this. They know that they can go on MSNBC or what's it called now? MS Now. I don't even know what that's supposed to stand for. More stupidity now, probably. They can go on these media outlets, and these media outlets are propagandists. They run cover for the criminals as long as the crimes are committed against you and against me. So it's not courage or confidence that causes these confidence in justice, I should say, that causes James Comey and John Brennan to go on media on a media tour when they are facing what should be charges. It's confidence that Pam Bondi's Department of Justice is at the most significant going to get a little slap on the wrist for a perjury charge.
You know what? Let's shift gears and talk about something wonderful. The mental illness in the Democrat Party. Here was Dome slurring her way through a little interview.
I think what they're doing is they're cheating. They're cheating. They want to change the current system to make it bend toward the outcome they want. And so, you know, if you believe the public reporting, they get a call that says, hey, redo your lines. Even though the fallout is going to include exactly what you said, which is, you know, taking the franchise, the vote, away from specific communities. And in the case of Texas, Latino and Black voters.
Yeah.
And diluting their votes. And this is not a census year.
Yeah.
But this is a year with the big, beautiful bill and the unpopularity of it. And so they want to bend the rules. And I have to say that, you know, those Texan legislators, good for them.
It's the music that kills me, the dramatic music.
Put that music on there, hire kids. Them. Hire them as a producer.
I know, it's terrible. They are just a bunch of theater kids, aren't they, Liz? It's so much drama all the time.
I mean, listen, look at the table in front of Kamala Harris. There are two glasses sitting in front of her. One is filled with water and the other one is empty.
That pretty much says it all. I have to ask you about this. Joy Ann Reid, who got fired from MSNBC, not for saying kooky things like this. She went on TV, she said this.
They can't fix the history they did. Their ancestors made this country into a slave hell. But they can clean it up now because they got the Smithsonian. They can get rid of all the slavery stuff. They got PragerU. They can lie about the history to the children. They can't originally invent anything more than they ever were able to invent good music. We black folk gave y'all country music, hip hop, R&B, jazz, rock and roll. They couldn't even invent that, but they have to call a white man the king because they couldn't make rock and roll. So they have to stamp the king on a man whose main song was stolen from an overweight black woman.
Liz, I feel like the country's kind of done with this this kind of race-baiting branding. I think the George Floyd protests tapped out America's energy for it. It just doesn't seem to get traction anymore. Am I wrong?
I mean, I had a little bit of a hard time following her convoluted thinking and speaking, to be perfectly honest. But it seemed to me that she was saying that you as a white man, Jesse, are to blame for all sins of all white men in all bygone eras, which is ridiculous. It's one of the reasons, actually, that kind of ridiculous thinking. It's a false accusation, right? We as human beings, one of the worst accusations you can face is being racist. And it's a good thing that that's one of the worst accusations. No one wants to be racist because it's dehumanizing another child of God. And so in our country, it is the worst accusation you can face is to be racist, which is why the left often falsely accuses people of that, because they are trying to assassinate people's character beyond the point of no return. But the problem is that when you do this so often to so many innocent people, eventually people realize, hey, I don't have to take this. I don't want my children taught this. I don't want this racialism to be the foundation of our society. And the left went too far with this critical race theory stuff, and they are suffering the backlash, and it's a good backlash. It's not just personal or professional backlash. It is a reclaiming of justice and a reclaiming of equality in our country, both governmentally and in our culture. And Joy Ann Reid is a perfect example of that.
Liz, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. Let me get to your phone, your mobile company. You know, corporate America, that's one, you know, we talked about institutions at the beginning of the show. Corporate America is one of the institutions the communists conquered. That was an institution he was never going to let just sit there, all that money, all that power and influence. He conquered it. And that's why you've seen Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile consistently take part in the culture wars against you. I remember all the LGBTQ propaganda, the George Floyd stuff paid for by you. My company doesn't do that. I was talking to somebody this weekend. He's a living Medal of Honor recipient. He was hanging out with the Pure Talk boys. That's who Pure Talk cares about. You, America, American heroes, veterans. Switch to the cell phone company that hires Americans and loves America. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV. Well, there's more good news out there. At least I think there's good news out there. Bad and good. Tulsi Gabbard, DNI, came out and said, hey, more than 40 more security clearances are being revoked for these, I don't even know if we can call them intelligence people, intelligence professionals, for, quote, abused public trust by politicizing and manipulating. That sounds bad. Who's going to jail for that? Joining me now, one of the great senators, very few good senators we have, Senator Eric Schmidt from the great state of Missouri and author of the book, The Last Line of Defense. My goodness, do we all need to learn about that, beating the left in court? Okay, Senator, you have an op-ed now talking about prosecutions for this Russiagate hoax stuff. Obviously, I've said over and over again, I believe this is critical for the United States of America. If you can't go to jail for cooking the books and using the CIA to attack your Republican opponent, then you can't go to jail if you're in government.
Right. No, I think that we've gotten, you know, now these disclosures from Tulsi Gabbard And you've got the breadcrumb trail now to indictments. That's how I feel about it. And also, and we can walk through that, but I also think if you want to understand why they were so hellbent on making sure President Trump never got back in office, this is it. Because they knew that Hillary Clinton worked with the Soros organization to come up with a distraction from her email problems. They knew that the Steele dossier was fake. They knew President, or at the time, Barack Obama authorized spying on a political candidate. They knew they doctored the books on the Intelligence Committee report, even though they knew it was a BS story. And then they continued to use that to try to sideline his first administration. They continued to use it, by the way, we talk about it in the book, when we took the deposition of Elvis Chan, they used that as a predicate for, you know, the Hunter Biden laptop, keeping that quiet because they claimed it was a Russian hack and leak operation, even though they knew it was true. So the punchline is, I think that, you know, the statute of limitations may have expired on some of this stuff, but it doesn't expire on a conspiracy. And I think that's where the indictments ought to go. There should be indictments, this conspiracy. So if you're Clapper, Comey, or Brennan, I'd make sure you're lawyered up because that's where this thing's going.
Okay, you say that's where this thing's going, and I know you are a man of your word. It's one thing for me to get on television and scream someone has to go to jail, right? Every American feels that way. It's quite another to actually prosecute and convict and put them there. Yeah. How do we go about doing that?
Well, I think, again, when you're dealing with a conspiracy, when you light the fuse at mile marker one, you're responsible for the things that happen, even if you're not directly involved, in mile marker 10. And I think that's, again, the most likely scenario of why, where we would see indictments here is a conspiracy potentially to defraud the United States. Because if you think about what they were doing, this makes Watergate like look like child's play, or at least what people wanted everyone to believe about Watergate. This was about sidelining somebody from ever being elected in the first place. And then when he was elected, in something they knew was false, they tried to get rid of him there and try to diminish his presidency. And again, we saw the lawfare that followed after that once they demonized President Trump and he delivered the greatest political comeback in American history. So the conspiracy, I think, is the angle here. And I hope we see something from that. I think the time has come.
You mentioned Elvis Chan, and I'm glad you did. He's somebody, people who watch this show are very familiar with him. I understand we have statute of limitation things and things like that, but we have a former FBI special agent on camera bragging about campaigning for Democrats as an FBI special agent. That's essentially what he did. How can we go on without people inside the walls of the FBI seeing the inside of the walls of a prison? Being at the FBI cannot be a license to commit crimes, and clearly the people at the FBI think it is.
Well, and one of the things, and the reason why I wrote the book, Last Line of Defense, How to Beat the Left in Court, you can go to Amazon and get it right now, released yesterday, is to walk people through what was it like to take his deposition? What did we find out? What was it like to take Anthony Fauci's deposition? Because we brought the Missouri versus Biden lawsuit, which exposed the censorship enterprise before Elon Musk had even bought Twitter and Twitter files and the congressional investigations. And what we found, Jesse, was this leviathan of government agencies that were turned against the American people. If you had the wrong opinion about masks or the wrong opinion about vaccines, or you had an opinion about the election in 2020, the government was working directly with social media companies through secret special portals to silence millions of voices. That's the truth. And I think what we're seeing now is, so these kind of things are exposed. What the book is about is, you got to stand up and fight back. We fought back on the vaccine mandate we took to the Supreme Court, we won. We fought back on the student loan debt forgiveness case, we took that to the Supreme Court, we won. We filed Missouri versus Biden, and we were successful ultimately getting the truth out. We sued 50 plus school districts in Missouri for the mask mandates, and we won. We took on ESG, and now that's in retreat. We took on DEI and CRT, and we won. So if you got the courage to stand up and fight back, and you talk about this a lot, we can do anything. The people are with us. The law is on our side. Common sense is on our side. So this book, Last Line of Defense, is a playbook for not just the stuff that we did, but the fights that are ahead. And I think it's important to tell that story.
Senator, you mentioned the NGO connection, the cartel we have going where the government essentially, it knows it can't censor, but you just give out grants, work with a private company, and you find... Now, that has to be against the law, but that's a whole different nut to crack. Can that be cracked? Because obviously our freedom of speech can work against us when it comes to things like that, but we can't have Democrats colluding with private corporations to crush the rights of American citizens every time they take office.
That's right. And, you know, these names like the Institute for Peace and the National Endowment for Democracy and all these ridiculous things, we need to totally get rid of these things. They need to be defunded. One of the things I'm most proud of is I handled the rescissions package in the Senate. And we clawed back $8 billion for all the ridiculous stuff like, you know, the DEI in Burma and Sesame Street in Iraq and Guatemalan sex changes. It was money. I mean, it's $8 billion, but it was also, we demonstrated the political will to do something about it. We'd not done rescissions like that in 30 years. It's the first really kind of its kind. So my hope is there's more of those things, but we got to root this stuff out, because this NGO nexus with the government, they sit, like, it's fueled violations of free speech. It's fueled censorship. It's fueled mass migration into this country. They give it to these entities, then they go around and send everybody through the back door, and then the government claims they don't know anything about it. This is a true quote-unquote threat to democracy. It's not President Trump. The reason why he was the threat to democracy to them is he wanted to disrupt this stuff, and I think that's our mission. I believe that firmly. And again, the reason why I wrote the book, Last Line of Defense, was to see the landscape as I saw it. When I was AG at that time, I saw it all, from the highest levels of government to the local superintendent. And the lesson is, if you stand up and you fight back, we can win. We can be successful. And what people want more than anything, Jesse, what they want is authentic leadership. They want to know that there's people that are going to fight for them, not permanent Washington or the Washington consensus, but the people in so-called flyover country in states like Missouri. They're tired of this stuff, and they want fighters.
Yeah, speaking of Missouri, you left the AG post of Missouri, and now your United States Senator, Andrew Bailey, who I like very much, he's apparently leaving, and he's going to be co-director of the FBI. Is there anybody left to be AG of Missouri?
Well, yeah, listen, the show me state, we punch above our weight class, I feel like. And so Andrew's going to do, he'll do a great job at the FBI, and hopefully can help clean up that place too.
What do we do about the judges? Yeah, every day we wake up, I know you do the same thing, we wake up and there's a new judge that did something crazy, we're screaming at our phones, but they're still judges, you know, you're not voting for them. How do we get these people out? Because we can't survive like this if there's a network of judges who are working against the country at all times.
Well, let me give a little bit of at least an optimistic view of this. So what happens typically when people get upset is they'll see that district court ruling. But as these cases, President Trump, and again, Last Line of Defense, why we wrote the book is you got to have the courage to fight back. My Solicitor General, speaking of Missouri, who was my Solicitor General, John Sowers, the Solicitor General of the United States of America now. So John knows how to fight and win. And by and large, they are winning. They got the Supreme Court to say, you can't do these universal injunctions anymore. It's a total abuse of authority that one judge in New Mexico can decide foreign policy for the president of the United States of America. So those are gone. President Trump, by and large, is winning on these deportation cases as they make their way through. And even on the personnel and programming, they've said, yeah, you can fire these USAID employees. And so I think along the way, look, there's some radical judges that Biden got in, but by and large, as they're making their way through the courts, President Trump is successful in his defense of his policies. That's good news, even though some of these individual decisions certainly are frustrating.
The book is Last Line of Defense. Senator, I appreciate you very much. All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And I do love it that every part of the right, every part of society seems to be more willing now than they ever were to give it right back to the filthy communists. You see, these filthy communists have been used to being the only aggressor in every social setting. That's why your liberal Aunt Peggy used to show up at Thanksgiving screaming about her 15th abortion, and now she's a little bit more quiet because the right has had enough. Enjoy an ICE agent telling some tubby commie that's exactly what she is. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.